Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Network Cousin Sal coming to you on a Wednesday morning. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How you doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Look at that. I hear a little pep, a little extra pep, a little extra oomph in the Parlay Kid's voice. Because it's the first day of summer, I'm thinking Parlay Kid, right? Done with school? It's,
no. I got a couple more days left. It's all good. No, but it's not good.
Blow it off. It's first day of summer. They could finish without you.
Summertime. It doesn't feel like summer. It's a little cool here today, though, Sal. So
really,
and then tomorrow it's supposed to be like in this like the 60s. So
look at
it
that.
Doesn't feel like summer yet, but we haven't had that stretch of hot weather yet. So I'm looking forward to that because I like when it's hot. I like
Darren. Darren, you just like two of those 578 days you have left to call in sick at school.
Yeah, they call them sick days, I think.
These are the best days of the school year for a teacher.
Really, Harry. Harry was a teacher for like 10 minutes in Las Vegas, right?
4 years, baby. 4 years.
What was it? 4 years.
2000 to 2004.
So I'm not counting your senior year. 4 years, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea. Well, listen, either way, summer can't end fast enough for Harry, who's now lost, what, Bry, 8 in a row with his picks on extrapoints.com?
Apparently.
It is something to behold, really is.
Eight in a row, Harry. There is somebody keeping track.
I'm not sure if you know this. Someone's keeping track online.
When you lose and when you win.
I mean, they give you credit when you win, and when you lose, they point it out.
I don't think that person does give me credit when I win. But, I will say this. My picks have not been good. I'm not going to sit here and defend them. No way am I going to. But when I lay the -1.5, and I've had four of my picks laying 4.5, and all four won by one run, that's pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going
to. I was there.
This is what happens, Parlay Kid. We try to shame him for taking -150s and -170s, and so he takes a -1.5 to bring it to like an even number. And then now I think we're getting blamed now for the loss here. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, that's a loss is a loss, Sal. We always say it doesn't matter if it's by a million runs, one run. It's still a loss. I could sit here and complain that I had the Texas Rangers last night. I mean, one of the worst calls in the history of baseball was made against them. I lost. Mm-hmm. I should have known. I should have been better.
How did they explain it? Basically, the catcher was deemed like he was blocking the plate. Like, do you have to be completely? Do you have to be on the pitcher's mound if you're a catcher to make a tag? I don't know where you need to be set up. And that was the winning run for the White Sox.
That was. I guess that's what they're saying. I mean, he was behind the plate.
Right.
The only thing blocking the plate was the tag that he put on the runner when he went by. I mean, it's. I think we can all agree that maybe one of the worst calls we've seen over the last.
From what I understand, it was the replay that overturned it.
Yeah, it was the replay officials.
The ump got it right on the field. He called him out on the field.
Anyway, we'll get to baseball. A lot of baseball to discuss. A lot of NBA draft talk. My goodness, Thursday night, it's here already. We have Tate Frazier. We have the best in the business, Harry. One of your biggest fans, Tate Frazier. Master Tate is joining us in a few minutes. Let's talk, though. There was some basketball we missed over the weekend. By the way, great job by Todd Furman. We recorded that Friday. Harry, it's fun. He takes jabs at you, Furman. It's good. He came to life. A lot of people said that was the most lively they've ever seen Todd Furman.
I can take Todd's jabs any day of the week.
You can't say it, pronounce it, but you can take it. I know. I like it. All right. So real quick on this trade, Bradley Beal goes to the Suns for Chris Paul for now to the Wizards. Suns get Beal, Jordan Goodwin, Isaiah Todd. Wizards receive Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, and multiple second round picks. It was a contract dump. That's all it was, right, Bry? I mean, there's no other way to put it. In fact, Washington is going to shop Chris Paul at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I think it is. Because at first it's like, it's funny. The more I thought about this, this is like, yeah, Washington, oh man, they didn't get anything. And then it's like, ah, crap, this trade kind of sucks for the Suns too. Because again, this is a guy who's averaged like 60 games over the last couple of years. And you have to pay him in like four years, he's making like $57 million. I mean, he's making like 50 every year, but it's like $57 million in like four years. And I don't know. To me, this doesn't put them over the top. They have to round out the rest of their team, but it limits what they could do. And I don't know, Beal and Booker playing together, similar players. I don't know. Yeah, the more I thought about this, the more I hated it for Phoenix.
And it's always the same thing, right? With these big three, like, well, how's it going to gel? The names are there, Booker, Durant, and Beal. And Beal certainly, what was it, 2019 to 21, he averaged like 32 points a game. Like, that was the guy. But also, I don't know, like, yeah, you're right. He missed 40, 50, had 40, 50, 60 starts. Harry, is that your background there?
Yeah, it's the birthday boy. That's the birthday boy. Make all that noise.
All right. Harry. Well, Harry can't tell him the.
I want to hear Harry say, "Ken, shut it."
He wouldn't say it on his deathbed, let alone his birthday.
It's his birthday, Darren.
Yeah. Okay. So if it's your birthday, just Harry invite anybody in.
Harry has to talk in the background. Harry has to lower his voice.
Look, guys. By the way, though, I do agree with Brian on this deal with Beal. You got three scores. You got no defenders on this team and no bench. And KD,
they weren't deep.
KD, Beal, and Booker. I know Booker had that little stint last year, but if you look over the last two seasons, they've missed a combined 180 regular season games. 3 and 4 years ago, Beal averaged 31. Last two seasons, 23. And like Brian says, he hasn't played more than 60 games in five seasons.
Paulie kid, this is probably an overzealous new owner. It's good for that. You know, like, I don't know, like with the Mets, I felt like, oh, it's nice. It's Cohen likes to spend money. Whether the results show on the field is a different story, in this case on the court. But this guy, you know, he's in it to win it. And I'm just not sure if this is the right formula.
Well, you know, after that Durant trade, Sal, you put yourself in a position to win now, right? So the more you look at the trade, at first glance, it's kind of like, wow, they didn't even have to give up like a first round pick here to get Beal. But it really is a salary dump. But I think it's something maybe the Suns had to do. They had to go for
it. But Darren, they have no first round. They have no first round picks to give out after the deal they did with KD.
Well, absolutely. Right. So the bottom line is, but because of that deal for KD, you couldn't just sit around with the team you just had. You had to make an upgrade. Beal put out that Phoenix was one of his wanted destinations. So I think it's something they had to do. I'm not saying I love this Phoenix team. I didn't love them this year. I wasn't on board with them at all.
Yeah, they gave up a million points. They didn't get any stops against Denver.
This lineup now that Phoenix has against Denver wins in four, maybe five.
But you'd also have to say Phoenix is a better team now than they were a week ago.
Yeah, they have to be. Yeah, it's Shamet for...
Yeah, I think they have
God
to
forbid
be.
One of those big three go down.
On that thing.
Then they got nobody.
Of course. So I don't think they're done, though, the Suns, because as you know, Draymond Green opted out of his deal. He's going to test the free agent waters. Could he end up in Phoenix? Like, could they be like, hey, we got no shots left for you, Draymond. You just got to do your thing and try not to punch anybody in the face in the offseason and ruin the upcoming year. Is that a landing spot for Draymond potentially, Brother Bri?
It's a good question. I guess it depends what he's willing to take, right? What can they offer? I mean, I do think that would be a very good fit, right? You bring a guy with some defensive intensity there that they won't have from anybody. I mean, obviously Durant can defend too, but
Michigan State owner, Draymond Green. Right. You hear about him going to Detroit.
That'd be some great games against Golden State.
That would take years.
I never know with the Draymond Durant stuff too, right? Like, do they like each other or not like each other? At one point, they did and then didn't and then did. I'm not sure. I mean,
as a Knicks fan though, you would want Draymond versus Chris Paul.
Yes, I would. Right? Yeah, definitely. I think Draymond would fit the Knicks, what the Knicks do, right? Again, in terms of defensive team, he'd bring another presence, bring another leader to the team. And again, he's a guy you could run an offense around that doesn't need to score, but would facilitate their offense a little bit more than anybody on that team. So I definitely agree with that. Paul and Brunson together, two small guards.
You don't need a banged up 38-year-old when you already have a point guard. Draymond is 33. You bring that attitude with him that the Knicks fans are not used to. The Knicks aren't used to. And he played 73 games this year. Is most since 2017. Chris Paul hasn't played 73 games since 2016.
It's just hard to find a guy that won't shoot like and be happy with it. And that's what you get with Draymond. You get a lot of other stuff too. But that's one thing. That's one positive it could bring to any team. All right. Hey, let's bring him in. Why are we doing? Why are we even talking basketball without this guy? All right. Here he is. This guy possesses the most knowledgeable hoops mind in the country, this side of Sage Steel. He's the Tar Heel with the baby face, the host of One Shining Podcast, Master Tate Frazier is here. What's happening, Tate?
Yeah, great to be here. I did not have Sage Steel reference on my bingo card here, but that was a good start. Hot start. Great to be back. Great to see Gary's beautiful face and not quite a baby face, but looks a little bit like a baby.
I can be a baby, fellas.
We have a baby face. We have a lot going on. By the way, I'm glad to see you're healthy because I tried to meet up with you several times over like 14 weeks. You had strep throat every single time. and I wanted to pay you money. You actually won money on Miami. You gave us like 13 picks for the NCAA tournament. This one won Miami to make the Final Four. It was a winner, 13-1, and we weren't able to. I Venmo'd you finally. Did you get it last night?
I got the Venmo. That was a nice moment. My girlfriend was like, "Why is someone sending you $1,300? What is happening here? Are you a degenerate gambler?" I was like, "No, it's just from Cousin Sal and the degenerate trifecta." I promise. I appreciate you sending that over. And who would have thought Miami actually got the job done? When I came on your show, I was like, "That was the biggest dark horse flyer that I threw."
Right,
it's the only thing that hit. So. We'll take it.
I can't even remember what I guess it was 13-1 odds, but I mean, you didn't need the money for all this time. You're that rich. Can't believe that's how much Spotify is paying you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill Simmons, right? Yeah.
Yeah. If I get it, I get it. Yep. If I don't, I don't. By the way, speaking of Bill Simmons, I was going to wait till the outro to do this, but this has come to my attention. Now, Simmons famously over the weekend or Friday, whenever, referred to Harry and Meghan, the royal couple, as grifters, maybe even effing grifters, and not even effing. He said the word. And, it's big news, obviously. And so they're out at Spotify. And this inspired a conversation with Harry and the Parlay Kid. I don't even know. Parley Kid, will you explain what happened on this phone call? Because I can't even believe this is true. I mean, the next move is a convalescent home for Harry, if there's any validity to the story.
Yeah, so I made mention to Harry. I sent him a reference. I said, I didn't know Bill was like the, he has some title at Spotify that I was not aware of. I just said, Bill's in there. Check this title out, and it was. But it was really just the caption of the whole article about Meghan and Harry. And Harry responded to me. Then a phone call took place. And Harry responded to me that he could not recall having this conversation about negotiating with Bill and Spotify him and Meghan.
That's a lie.
Harry, is this?
I'll tell you what, Sal. I spoke to Meghan Connelly the other day, and I told her, Bill definitely hired the wrong Harry and Meghan. That's all I know.
All right, so you're in on the joke or you're not in on the joke? Like, did you honestly think, you didn't think he was talking about you, right?
No, or did not.
No, you sure?
I'll show you the text. I will send Mikey Meatballs the text.
I saw it
that
before.
That he could put in. That he could put in.
I'll tell you part of that story.
Harry's Rodney bitch. So
what?
You didn't see that? Kelly Osbourne?
Well, we're trying to figure this out, Harry. Don't worry. Don't deflect it. Yeah.
He's deflecting a lot today, Harry. Really deflecting a lot.
Tate, you could be the swing vote here. Although I know you're going to rule in Harry's favor, but go ahead.
Yeah, I will rule in Harry's favor. I don't think Harry's a grifter, though, especially not a grifter. So I would never let that be said about you, Harry. So
thanks, Tate. I was going to text Bill myself, say, you need to hire me and Megan for a show on Spotify.
There you go.
All right. I'm still not, maybe 50% convinced. Babyface, real quick, what do you think of this?
Come on. Babyface thought it was me and Megan, too.
Well,
nobody thought it was you and Megan Conley. All right.
Harry is a royal, a royal flush, but... unfortunately, Harry, this is we'll save this for your next negotiation. I think
I haven't hit one of those in ages in video poker.
All right, Tate has had enough of this. Let's talk basketball. Tate, big night tomorrow. One of your favorite nights of the year, or where do you put it up there?
Yeah, it's it's not one of my favorite nights of the year. I feel like the NBA draft, there's a whole lot of hoopla, right? There's a whole lot of like prognosticating. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a genius. Everybody knows who's going to be good, and then you look up and we're in December of the actual season, right? And half these guys don't even play, or they're in the G League, or they're no good. And then there's a guy that, like, I mean, look at the Miami Heat, right? We kept hearing about all these undrafted guys. So obviously, a lot of us are idiots when we talk about this, because all these undrafted guys get to the NBA Finals. So it's a fun night. I like to just, talk in, hypotheticals. I think that's what everybody's doing at this point. You have to be aware of the payola. There's a lot of information that's passed on. That's what I've learned just actually being in the business now. It's like people will tell you things, and now you have to be smart enough to say, why would someone tell me this? Right. So I used to believe everything I was told. Now I'm about 50-50 there. So I just try my best to weed through it all.
That's basically the tact I took with this Harry Meghan thing. Like, I used to believe everything. I'm still not sure, but let's look at this. Now, Victor Wembanyama is definitely going first, right? Like, so what would have to happen? Tate, put on your financial advisor cap and let people know, like, I saw him at minus 50,000 to get selected first, which means you have to lay $50,000 to win 100 that Victor Wembanyama is drafted first. Isn't this a good bet? Like, what would have physically, I'm not saying he says something dumb on Twitter or something, but physically tonight or tomorrow morning for the Spurs to not take Wembanyama, what would he, even if he breaks his ankle kicking a bowling ball, they still take him, right?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. The only thing I can think of is maybe if there's a video that comes out, where he has like a gas mask on and he has a bonk attached to it, maybe that's the only way that he could actually fall. We've seen that happen before. But even if that came out, I don't think they would care, right?
I still don't think. Yeah,
right. Like, Don Nelson would come in and say, like, I'll make sure to handle his marijuana problem responsibly. You know what I mean? Like, the Spurs would hire him.
Right.
I mean, they'd have some sort of way to figure this out. I was looking at the odds as well, because it's such a sure thing. You feel like you could bet 5,000 and, win something back and it would make sense. But like you said, 50,000 odds. I mean, what even could it be? And if I had to guess what the Spurs are going to do, they're just going to wait the entire 5 minutes just to make this thing and string
just
it out.
Just to scare like people.
Yeah, right. To try to get everyone anxious about it. But it's a foregone conclusion. It's happening. They're taking the Frenchman.
Yeah. So when you say video emerges, that could really like sully his reputation. One of the worst things happened last night, and it didn't seem to sway, public opinion. He threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium, and it was disgusting. Right, Parlay Kid?
Yeah.
Like, it really?
I've seen worse. Yeah. We've seen worse than that. And you got to understand, I think in his defense, that's got to be like trying to throw like a ping pong ball. Like, for me, trying to throw like a golf ball, like, to a catcher, which I'd be probably would miss.
But no. See,
watch him holding a bat. Watch him like around the batting cage, trying to lift and swing a bat. Mm-hmm. To me, that was much less impressive than him throwing the ball, because I felt like he could barely lift the 2-pound bat. At one point, and he had no idea how to swing a bat.
Wow.
So to me that was worse than the throw itself, which he's a gangly guy. That's hard. If you were built like that, I think that's hard for those type of guys to throw a ball. I know.
All right. I'll give you that. Built like that, maybe. But I got a bunch of comments when I made fun of him. I called him Wembanyama Booey or something. Bah, bah, bah. I don't know what I said. But anyway. And then I got the golf ball comment. Like, oh, it would be like you trying to throw a golf ball. So I brought the 9-year-old into the street. I was like, I'm going to throw you a golf ball.
I like that.
I stood 60 feet away. You're not going to believe this. I didn't break any of the neighbor's windows. I didn't knock over a stop sign. Went right into his glove and with some zip. So I'm not, everybody figure something else out. It's not, you could put something small in your hand that has weight and get it to somebody 60 feet away without embarrassing yourself. Come on, Bri. You agree, right?
Oh, I agree. I was thinking the same thing. Because I think if I threw a golf ball once or twice, all of us, I think, would be able to throw it okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Go out there and try it.
My biggest thing is, look, these guys, you're throwing a pass with a basketball, right? You know how to throw, right? You could throw a one-handed pass. So, like, you should be able to just throw smaller objects.
I
get that's one of the reasons why these guys are bad at, but it just shows you though, all these guys do. I mean, we've seen this before with guys taking BP and stuff. All these guys do is play basketball. That's it.
Yeah.
They are locked into that and that's what they do.
It also shows he's not American, right? It solidifies the fact that he is not an American. He doesn't care about America's pastime. No matter how many Yankees jerseys or Mets jerseys or Dodgers, whatever he puts on, we just know he's still a Frenchman at the end of the day and he can't throw a baseball. So if anything, I was happy about it as an American. Not to be nationalistic about it, but I'm like, at least we got that on him. If we got to play baseball against the guy, we're going to win.
No, I get it. He's just another foreign effing grifter. Is that what
you said, right? Would you put that in your top five worst of all time?
No, I don't think so.
50 Cent was the worst.
There's some bad ones. There was like the mayor of Cincinnati. Now I can't even tell if people are doing it on purpose. Some of them, I know he didn't last night. But hey, you know what, Tate? I'm Greg Popovich. I look at that video of him throwing the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. I say, this guy choked in a high pressure situation. I'm moving on. I don't want him.
Yeah.
Someone else deal with this guy. That's right. So speaking of this number two pick is really, we'll just go down the list here. It basically came down to who moves the line more, Bill Simmons or Woj. And it turns out it's Woj. Simmons liked Scoot Henderson at number two. Maybe he didn't make it public. Maybe he just texted me. And so, of course, I bet a lot on that. And then Woj comes over the top and said, Charlotte was dazzled by Brandon Miller's workout. And Miller went from plus 140 to minus 570 to be selected second. Is that your Hornets? Is that their pick? For sure.
They've told me, or like my sources with the Hornets have told me since day one, it's Brandon Miller. And like I was saying at the start of the show, I did not believe them because they also told me in 2017 that the pick was Donovan Mitchell and they had the 11th pick and they took Malik Monk. Obviously Malik Monk fell there to them, but they did not follow through. So I've been tricked before. So I told Kevin O'Connor, I told Bill Simmons from day one that, you know, I heard it was Brandon Miller, but I kept thinking it was a smokescreen. Mitch Kupchak kind of keeps a lot of things close to the vest. So I did not think he was giving information for free. But like you said, Woj has been told this. I have been told that Kupchak has the final say on the pick, not Michael Jordan, despite the reports. I think if Jordan had the final say, it's Miller 100% out of 100 times he would take Miller. But I think Kupchak is, after Scoot Henderson's workout, I think Kupchak was like, I think I got to take the better player here, despite the fit. And I still think Scoot, even though the odds have shifted so far, I wouldn't be shocked if Kupchak at the last minute takes Scoot. And
really?
I think he has more value. And, Woj knows more than me, but I still think Scoot has a chance.
Interesting.
For someone who hates gambling so much, Woj really moved the line. And there is value. There's value to the better for sure for that second pick with Scoot Henderson, plus 225 now. And it might go up and up and up. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping there's a little bit drama in these first three picks, Brother Bri, because I think it's like if you parlay the three together, it's minus 600. If you get it in order, obviously, if it's Wemby, Miller, and then Henderson, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're better off, like Tate was saying, maybe just take a flyer on Scoot or going two or Miller going three. I mean, it's pretty much the same.
Take a flyer. You don't mean a Dayton flyer, right? Let's not get the parlay kid
excited. Don't take Obi Toppin.
No Toppin.
Toppin's definitely traded while we're on the Obi Toppin subject, right? Tate, there's no way he's a Knick next year.
I hope that they try to move Randall instead of Toppin. I think that Toppin hasn't gotten a fair shake there in New York because he's had to play behind Randall. So I would love for them to actually play Toppin.
You worked this out with him. You worked this out ahead of time.
Yeah, we talk. We backchecked on this. But I hope they don't end up trading Obi Toppin. And if they do, maybe they trade him to my Charlotte Hornets because we'll play him. We'll be sure to play him. And you guys can have Miles Bridges. He's on the trading block. So there you go.
Thank you. That's perfect. That's the way to do it. All right, Tate, give us something. I know you've looked these over. And let me just say, there's between Caesars and FanDuel and DraftKings, these vary wildly, a lot of these odds. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, but they do. They really do. It's like going for a loaf of bread for $1.49, and then down the street it's $6.50. So, what jumped out at you in terms of top 10 pick, top 20 pick? They have over unders on several of the players. What do you like?
Yeah, I just one player that I think is fascinating, Cam Whitmore. If I had to bet, I would have said he was a top five pick. I would have put money on it. I was told that the Rockets were in love with him. My sources with the Detroit Pistons told me they were in love with him. And then there were some medicals that just came out. And now if you look at Bleacher Report, Kevin O'Connor's draft guide, Sam Vassi, any of these draft gurus, right, that do this for a living, they have all slid Cam Whitmore down. So if you had any sort of, over under, I don't know what the line was for him if he was picked before five or something like that, maybe you decide to do bet on him to go outside of the top five. I thought that was a sure thing as early as 3 days ago, but it seems like he's sliding right now. So that's a name that I would throw out there just as an option, in the top 10. Maybe he still stays in the top 10, but I don't think he's a top five guy anymore. And then as far as the fifth pick, I think the Pistons are looking to trade the fifth pick. There's going to be a lot of trades. And that's why Scoot Henderson, even at two, is fascinating, because Charlotte's still trying to shop around that pick and see what value they can get. And if another team like Scoot, like New Orleans at two, he could go number two, and it's because they're making a pick for somebody else. So those are just two names and two situations and scenarios that are in my mind right now.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Do you mind if we throw a few by you? Please. And then you pretend to like all of them? And then we'll say goodbye.
I already love Harry's. I know that.
Nice.
All right, Harry, go ahead. Let's see. Let's, what do you got?
UConn's Jordan Hawkins.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's do this. You say the name, we'll say the number, and then we'll say what, and then Tate, just so that it's not, he's not just piggybacking your pick here, because we know how much he loves you. Jordan Hawkins, 16.5. Would you go over or under, Tate?
I think I would go over.
Nice. Damn. That's what I got, Tate. I got over. I mean, for the most part, he was fantastic in UConn's title run, but in his two seasons at Storrs, he had more turnovers than assists. His D was average. So it's all about his jumper, basically. I think maybe 17 to the Lakers could work out, because L.A., doesn't have a real good shooting squad. And if Harden does go to Tillman Fertitta with the Rockets at 20, I think that could work out too.
I like that pick. I think Hawkins had a lot of hype after they won the national championship. A lot of people started putting him in the lottery because of the expectation that, he won a championship. He's this great shooter, yada, yada, yada.
At the time.
Yeah, right. Has he gone through workouts and people have kind of examined his defense and looked at his handles? I had a scout tell me that we don't want to have a book night situation on our hands. So it's not really Jordan Hawkins' fault, but he's got like some bad stink on him because of another guy that went to UConn. They kind of jumped up draft.
Yeah.
So that's my concern, that he's going to fall just because of that stuff. He's honestly got bad PR, because I think he's a really good player.
All right. Okay. So we're one for one. I like doing it this way. Parlay Kid, you want to go next? It's Grady Dick, 11.5. Tate, over or under?
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under on Grady Dick.
Wow. We're two for two. Go ahead.
Two for two.
Parlay Kid.
Yeah. I actually really like Harry's, and I do like Brother Bryce, because looked at this Grady Dick pick, I actually was going to go with both what Brother Bry had and what Harry had. So I like what they're saying. Look, Grady Dick, I actually like him to go 11th to Orlando. So I'm cutting this close, but I don't see how he could slide by Orlando if he makes it to the Magic. So I think I'm a winner here at plus 150. He'd be a perfect fit in Orlando, but he's just a prototypical wing guy in the NBA right now, right? He's 6'8", probably the best shooter in this class.
Yep.
I would say he's got a high motor. He's got a great basketball IQ. Okay, and the reason why I think he fits in really well with the Orlando Magic at 11 is because the Orlando guards don't shoot the ball very well. And Dick would really round that team out, and I think that's a team on the rise. I think he's a good fit there. But he could go earlier than that just because he's today's prototypical wing player that you're looking for. He's actually, for a guy who's not, you know, he's going to fill out probably a little bit more. He's actually a pretty good rebounder, too. He does a lot of little things, and he likes to push the ball. He's got some good handles, too. So I like Dick under 11.5 here at plus 150. I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, and the All Magic right. love Grady Dick. So I think that's the pick. That's the Dick pick right there.
Yes.
I was gonna say you on the Dick train, but that we can go so many different ways with this. Yeah, and you get a plus number there, plus 150. All right, Brian.
Yeah.
I love this.
Well, can I ask Tate a real quick question?
I don't think so. Go ahead.
But why has that number changed? Because that number, why am I getting a plus there? I really thought Dick was a guy that was looked at top 10, I felt like, for a while. Has anything changed, or is it just these are the things that happen right now?
They found out
the
he's white. It came out that he's a white Caucasian player.
And he's American, right? Those are the two knocks. I think the main thing is that maybe the Magic is trying to shop that pick. And if the Magic aren't making that pick at 11, then it doesn't make as much sense. But from what I gather from the Magic, they're going to pick at 6. And
so you like that. Yeah. So you like the Magic equation you like as well, what I said there.
Yeah. They need perimeter shooting. I think they take Anthony Black at 6 and they take Grady Dick at 11.
Like it.
But with the sixth pick and the 11th pick and the Dick pick, you're probably more prone to trade than anybody else also, right? That is the problem with the trying to figure out who Orlando's taking. I don't know. Bri, is this harder or is this more difficult than the NFL draft betting? I'm not sure. I feel like I lose money on all of it anyway.
It's the trades,
which is the uncertainty.
Yeah, that's
right?
where it's difficult. I think I've struggled the last few years on like that 8 to 13 range. If you start betting those guys, because that's where it gets a little bit. I used to like when it was a little bit better to bet the top of this draft in terms of getting some decent odds. Now you don't anymore. Right. Now you know everything. But I would say the NFL to me is probably a little easier actually. And when you get into the middle of the first round, for sure.
I also think there's more of a consensus from like the overall like ownership group. You know what I mean? Like the 30 owners in the NBA, there's a lot of times where preferential treatment can come into play. A GM knows this guy or knows this age. You know what I mean? There's a lot of back channeling in the NBA. I feel like the NFL, as much as we talk about how corrupt they are and all sort of stuff, they're a little bit more forward facing with some of the actual like play.
Yeah, decisions, right.
You know what I mean?
Imagine that. Yeah, but you're right. But and also the overseas market and pool doesn't help, right? With the certainty and the clarity and everything else. I mean, you got to take every French player available now. Bri, speaking of which, let's ask it this way. Will, how do you say it? Bilal Coulibaly?
Coulibaly.
Does he make the top 10 in your estimation, Tate?
I'm going to say over. I think he's going to end up going to the Thunder at 12. That's what I have.
All right.
You know, Bri likes it. What a bum. Why do we have this guy on here?
Sorry. Bri's got him top 10 plus.
Well, I got
a
top 10
number,
plus
though.
185. Look, his over under is 11.5. But look, at some point, look, this kid was projected to be like a late first originally. He shot up because of the exposure he got with Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an elite athlete, good size wingspan. Usually that shoots up the draft board at this time of year. It looks like he can shoot. But the guy screams upside. I did think the 9 to 10 range was interesting because you have teams like Utah or Dallas that, you know, in the past, obviously some success with international play with players. I know Utah is different management now, but in terms of like, you know, Gobert, now Coulibaly, I think that maybe could work there. I think these teams have to be thinking, look, when you get into that range, is it worth taking these pretty solid college players, or do you want to get the, I know it's completely different, you know, position, but do you want to get the next Giannis? You want to get the next Jokic in terms of an international guy? So I think the upside might be worth it here. I thought top 10 at plus 185 is pretty good though.
I like it in the sense that Wembanyama said he was a top 5 pick. So that's good. You know, if there's some sort of GM out there that's going to talk himself into it just because of that. And Sal, you talked about Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons is in love with this guy. He is. He told me that it's going to be the biggest miss for some of these teams in the top 10 if they don't take Coulibaly. I don't know how much he's watched of him or how much he just enjoys saying his name, but he might be.
I like Coulibaly.
All right. Well, we got to figure that out then. All right. Well, let me I think I know what you're going to say about this because it's a Duke player and you hate everything Duke, but Derek Lively, does he fall into the top 10?
I think there's a chance that Lively going lottery is a good bet at this point. He seems to be the name that is jumping up the board. A lot of teams, after watching the finals, said we need an elite rim protector. We don't really care about the shot. His shot looked better than most people, you know, expected it to look when he went to the combine. Even though I've seen Mitchell Robinson hit step back threes before, so you know, any guy in an open gym doesn't impress me making shots. You're supposed to make shots in an open gym, but I don't think you expect Lively to have to do that from day one. He can be a nice rim runner for you, a nice rim protector, like I said. So I think a lot of teams, even the Lakers included, are probably going to try to trade up to like the 13-14 range to try to get Lively.
All right. Well, that doesn't help my top 10 pick at plus 140. And if you look around, you could actually find this at plus 220. But this is really just a new narrative for idiot basketball
Mavericks,
fans like
Mavericks
me.
At 10, Sal. That could be a good
one. That's what I have to hope. Or maybe one of these Orlando picks, you know, they have two in the top 11. Maybe they trade to get out of that and somebody moves up. But my thing is Jokic proved he's the best. The big man is back. 7-footers with game won't be overlooked. I mean, this is probably too simplistic to fall in. But and if you can't get a Jokic, you get a guy who could stop a Jokic, right? 7'1", 7'7 wingspan, shot blocker, best rim protector, like you said, in the draft. Warriors have expressed interest. The Mavs at 10, like you said. Lakers were apparently blown away at his workout. They could trade up. I know, Tate, you want him because he's a Duke player to fall out of the first two rounds, but I'm taking him at plus 140 and beyond. What do you think of that just in general? The bigs, Wemby, Lively, the kid from Nigeria. Who's the other one? Clowney. You think some of these guys maybe go earlier than you would expect?
Yeah, I think in the same way that Curry had his effect, I think that, you know, with Giannis and with Jokic, it's the same thing. And Embiid's the MVP. So when you just talk about those three guys right there, the three guys are all bigs. Anthony Davis is probably, you know, if he played, he's the best American player, probably talent-wise, that we have in the game right now. He's also a big. He also can play the four or the five. The versatility at that position is important. And, you know, if you ask the Warriors, if you ask the Lakers, if you ask the Bucks, who's the most important free agent right now? It's Brooke Lopez. Why is it Brooke Lopez? Because he probably should have won Defensive Player of the Year because of his rim protection. And if you're the Lakers and if you're the Warriors or if you're the Bucks, you're like, I need this guy in the building because he shores up everything on the front line for us and also gives us a defensive juggernaut, right? When we have him, especially when you have Giannis and Brooke Lopez, right? I mean, or if you have Looney and Brooke Lopez, that's important for the Warriors. So if you don't want to pay Brooke Lopez, maybe you draft a guy who's a rim protector. And I'm not saying Clowney's one of those guys, but there are a bunch of bigs in this draft that you could talk yourself into. So I think it's a great point. Sometimes the dumb points or the what seem like obvious are sometimes so obvious that they're not discussed enough. You know what I mean? So you need a big to win, and Lively's one of those guys.
Let's say, Tate, we're talking a year from now, and I really hope we are, about the 2024 draft. What is the over-under on Bronny James, you think, heading into the 2024 NBA draft?
I think Bronny is testing the waters, and the waters are saying, you know, you should get out. You should get out of the waters. You should go back to USC. You should try to have a year where it's your team. I think Nike and LeBron are trying to force him into the pool. They are literally trying to throw him in the pool like he just got married. You know what I mean? It's it's one of those situations where I think if we talked to Bronny James off the record, Bronny James would say, I would love to play 3 or 4 years at USC. I'd love to be a normal college kid. I'd love to join a fraternity. I'd love to have a little bit of fun. I think that's the reality of the situation. And then I think there is the marketing LeBron James GOAT narrative, which is if his sons are better than Michael Jordan's sons, then he all of a sudden, I guess, climbs up the GOAT rank.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how that works. I saw Nick Wright the other day talking about Michael Jordan as an owner hurts his GOAT standing as a basketball player. I don't quite get it, but it is real. It is happening. I just don't think that Bronny will be ready by 2024. I would love for him to prove me wrong, but he's got two guards on USC that are better than him, and they're going to start over him. So I can't imagine a sixth man of USC is going to be, you know, pick 24th in the NBA draft. But Nike's powerful, and so is LeBron James. So we'll see.
Interesting. So, but to be better than Jordan's kids, he would have to start dating Scottie Pippen's the second wife. I don't know how this works. It's so hard to keep track of this date. I don't know.
I got to listen to their podcast. Apparently, they've got a podcast coming out. It's going to be good. Separation anxiety. So go check that out.
I love it.
Poor Scotty.
you brought up weddings, and I want to talk about nephew Kyle's wedding.
Please.
Right? You were there.
Yes.
Weren't you there?
Yes, I was there. You know, there was probably about 50 people.
Harry, mute your background, please. Be smart for a second. Okay.
Still can hear it. No. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Who is around Harry while he records? That's the best.
Big birthday party and Harry's
party. Yeah, shout out to Ken. We were at Kyle's wedding. It was in Poughkeepsie, New York. Took the train out of Penn Station up there to Poughkeepsie. Beautiful train ride. I wanted to shout out the New Yorkers here because down the Hudson was amazing. Kyle told me it would be, but I didn't really quite believe him. And then we got to Poughkeepsie, tried to check into the Courtyard Marriott. The lady told us check-ins at 3:00, in the very New York, I don't give attitude. You know what I mean? So very much, asked her where we should go eat. She gave us a restaurant that had 1.7 stars on Google. That was very nice.
That's a lot.
So it was a great welcome to Poughkeepsie, but the actual service itself, was beautiful outdoors. It was raining at like 4:30. The service started at 5:00. The rain subsided at about 4:50. I went up to Bill when I got there and I said, it's raining. I heard that's good luck on a wedding day if it rains. He goes, I wouldn't think that. I would think the opposite. He's like, you can catch me.
Wait a minute. Wasn't he responsible for the Alanis Morissette documentary on HBO famously said, sang about rain on a wedding day.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. Yeah. Those two things should have connected at some point, but he said no, but it was a beautiful service.
I love Kyle, but he's stupid. He should have invited me. He would have gotten a really nice gift. Instead, he got Jim Cunningham probably bought him, his and hers chewing tobacco cans. I don't know what,
American pirates.
Smack that kid when I see him next. Yeah.
Now, Harry sent me a text saying, I can't believe Tate went to Kyle's wedding and not mine.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Kyle still owes me that trip. That trip.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Harry has now become a
strep throat.
Another team. I'll be out in Phoenix. Tate had strep throat
all through COVID from 2019 to 22 and a half. I think he had COVID.
That's right. Phoenix final four next year. Make it happen for all of us. Let's go.
Still waiting on Jim Cunningham's present for my wedding. So wedding.
Yeah, that's going to be in layaway at Walmart for quite some time for you.
He already told you, Harry, he had to change his flight because he initially flew into Flagstaff or something stupid. So he had, that was your gift. Happen? Yeah.
I couldn't even screw that up.
He the officiant, Tate? Did you say that already?
He officiated the wedding, which was one of my, I had three big concerns going into it. Number one was Jim Cunningham at every level. The service itself, the fact that he could be late, the fact that, he was driving up himself, the fact that, he was like, I might bring a lady friend. There was a lot of things. It was like, oh my God, this cannot go.
He loves using that term, lady friend. Loves using that.
Yeah. Driving up. What do you mean driving up?
He was not driving from LA. He was driving from his house in New York up to Poughkeepsie. Oh, okay. So that just threw in a whole nother variable. Will he get there on time? These types of things. Yes. But I will be honest, because I give Jim a hard time. We all do on this show because he deserves it. But he did a great job. He really did. He started out, they had no music prepared. So Jim plugged his phone into the speaker. And so he was basically DJing the walk down the aisle and these types of things. And then just as far as officiating, he had a microphone in hand. He started out a little low, Jim, sometimes you're like, what are you saying? Speak up. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then he went after it and did a great job, made some jokes. Kyle gave his toast, right? They're doing their vows, they're doing their vows. And Kyle, mentions Home Depot and mentions rabbits and all this sort of stuff. And, it's sweet and nice. And then Alana, his beautiful wife to be, she drops her scroll and it hits the ground and she's got 20 minutes of vows to read to Kyle. And Jim, very funny guy, but he did a great job with this because that happened. People are crying. People are moved by everything Alana said. And Kyle goes, Jim goes, well, thank God Kyle went first. So that was a nice moment of levity. Everybody was laughing, So he had some nice comedic moments, so much so that Bill Simmons came to me afterwards and was like, Jim Cunningham did a good job. I was like, when he applies himself, the good things happen. So
Bill says Jim's getting drafted second tonight, tomorrow night. So that's
he's moving the line.
Money on that.
Yeah. Well, Tate, can I say, Tate, Sal said, you know, when we talked about Succession, Sal said Jim is Roman Roy, and I can't get it out of my mind from now on. That's all, That's all I think about.
Have you heard that before, Tate?
I have not heard that before, but the snark, the behavior, I mean, all of it checked out across the board.
The Grady dick pics. Yeah. It's all there.
The magic dick pics for sure.
Yeah. Right.
That's great.
Tate, we love having you. Boy, I think about it, if you had stuck it out at Fox a few more months, you could have replaced Shannon Sharp. You and Skip head to head. I mean, but it's timing is everything in this industry. I understand. I'm going to give you a free bet. You do well with these. I'm not just give me one for this draft. Which way are you going?
I'm going to go Jaime Jaquez to get drafted in the first round. I don't know what those odds are, but I will take Jaime Jaquez in the first round. And I'll go as far to say pick before the 22nd pick. That's what I would say. So Jaime Jaquez before the 22nd pick. I don't know what his line is. I don't have it in front of me.
All right, I'll find that. Yeah, we'll find that line.
Jaime Jaquez to be a first round pick would be somewhere that I would go. That's what I feel comfortable with. I've heard a lot of teams, Golden State, is really interested in Jaquez. Miami Heat interested in Jaquez. So they're around the 17, 18, 19 range. I think because of the interest from the Heat and the Warriors, you could see the Lakers there at 17 getting involved because they know him well. He's in LA. So I just think Jaquez is going to be a pick right around that range.
There you go. What did we want to say to Tate? This is terrific. Really love having you on. I love being on. Where do you watch? Where do you watch this draft?
I'm going to be with Bill Simmons either at his house or at the Ringer HQ watching it with him. And he said him and Kevin O'Connor are going to do the lottery conversation together. And then I'll come in for after the lottery, right when everyone's tuning in. I'll come in and talk about those guys, 15 through 30. So I'm excited about that. It'll be fun.
I don't know who the hell these guys are. Tate.
Get in here. Ballet, that's for sure.
One Shining Podcast. You're all over the TV too, Tate. Tell everybody what's up.
Yeah, FanDuel TV. Shout out to FanDuel. The TV show is through the Ringer. It is sometimes twice a week, sometimes once a week. But the whole idea is that it's all sports and it's Ringer experts come on. And then I'm the dumb host that asks them questions. You know what I mean? So I have a great time doing that. It's an easy role for me to play. And it's been a lot of fun. So yeah, getting some TV time in. Don't have to produce it myself, which is nice. And then One Shining Podcast twice a week. So that's been a great time. And producer Kyle is doing a great job. So it's fun to be back in the saddle with him.
Excellent. And you too will be getting married at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York, right?
Yeah, I loved it. Great scenery.
All right. Good time, Tate. Thanks for coming on, pal.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Tate.
Thank you, Tate. You,
All right.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tate. That was awesome.
That was great. Great as always. I'm around for the draft stuff. And hopefully,
awesome.
I don't know if the Jaime Jaquez, I don't even know what those odds are.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
We'll find Brian and I will find something.
I've been looking around.
I'll let you know.
Perfect. Well, Harry, I hope you can unmute and talk. If Kim,
I'm good.
Tate, that train ride is really nice though up there.
Oh, it was great. I mean, that was
riding the Hudson train is very nice. It's underrated.
I was going to rent a car and then Kyle was like, just go to the train station. And then I was like, I know how New York is. These trains will leave early. I was kind of worried about, and they board like 5 minutes before they take, so I was kind of worried about that, but it ended up being the easiest, smoothest thing ever. So I've recommended it to a lot of people. And it was funny when I told Bill, he's like, how'd you get here? I was like, I took the train. He's like, whoa, worldly move.
My private jet landed on top of a train once. Does that count?
But the whole Simmons fam was there, by the way. So the Ben and Joey were trying to sneak drinks. It was it was awesome.
That's literally their nephew, right? And so
right.
That's great.
Right. Makes sense. Fun. Great awesome. Great times, fellas. Appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Good to see you.
We'll talk about it soon. Thanks, Joel.
Hair's looking great, Tate. Hair's looking great.
That's what's right, Harry?
I'm doing good.
Really good.
Real good.
Hey, just stay on. Just stay on. They don't want you to go. Just stay on. Listen. Poor Meatballs has to edit all this out. Just stay up.
Yeah. Mikey Meatballs, you're the best. Appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you. I'll see you over there.
Thanks, Tate.
Yep.
Later,
my man.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire.
You must be 21 and older and physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. No one stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPENY.
All right, we're back. Tate Frazier, Harry. He always has your back.
Legend.
He liked most of our pick. Brian, I think yours is the only pick you didn't like.
Yeah.
So you're going to be the only one.
I think it's worth Yes, yeah. I think that's how it goes in these things. That's how it goes. Yes. I'm just glad, you know, you might have to edit this out, but this is the first time ever Darren said I like so that was enjoyable.
Not the last. Definitely not the last. All right. So baseball. Let's talk baseball here. What's going on with this Little League World, College World Series? It's not Little League, right? These guys are fully grown. I bet Florida, it's fun. They're going to be down. Boy, they're really rushing these games, right?
That's the cool thing about it. And, you know, when you go longer series, you know, the fact that you don't have any starting pitching left. Mm-hmm. It is a great couple of days. And this year, I feel like it's especially good this year because the games aren't as long. They're lower scoring.
Right.
But I will say, I complained about this the other day. I'm sure you guys have too. The umpire in these games have been terrible. It's worse that like Parley Kid said, it's like Little League. It's almost been worse. I mean, that Wake Forest LSU game early on, it was like LSU was maybe getting some calls. Then Wake Forest, I mean, I have them, so I benefited, but they got like every call. I thought LSU, the umpire last night in LSU, Tennessee was terrible. I don't know if it's the catchers are having a really tough time framing this, but there are so many like high curveballs on the outside that are called strikes and then pitches right down the middle that are balls. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the same pitch that I see, right? It's the off speed that ends up a foot outside the strike zone. They're calling it a strike or something.
So bad.
It's weird. But anyway, good Final Four. Parley Kid, your Oral Roberts team was fun for a minute. They bowed out. Harry, you have LSU, so that's a rematch tonight with Wake Forest. Wake Forest might be the only team LSU can't beat.
Yeah, look, LSU's going to have to beat them two times in a row to get to the finals.
Yeah, that's good. See, Harry's paying attention. See, that's good. All right, yeah, I have a Florida LSU parlay here. Florida's but anyway,
game. They pulled them out, barely, but then won them all.
Now to the majors here. Ohtani leads now in home runs. His MVP numbers on Caesars, minus 400. To have the most home runs, Parley Kid, he's 2-1. This is going to be hilarious. I have Alonso and Judge. I'm like, all right, they'll just battle 1-2 the rest of the year.
Right.
They battled who's going to come off the injured list first. And it was Alonso won that battle. But now they're 5th and 6th home runs odds wise, 6 and 7 to 1. I don't even know. Do we see Judge again? Some people are saying this injury is way more serious than everybody should think it is. Like who said like Bart Scott said it ruined his career? Same injury?
I guess so. I it's a toe injury. I don't know. I understand it's his back foot, the one he kind of drives off on, but I don't know. I remember when people would break their toes, a doctor would say, oh, there's nothing much you could do about it. You know, it's like it's a toe. It's gonna get better. I don't know. So I don't know. I guess I don't know. The timing of this was terrible for the Yankees. So I hope he gets better soon. They're obviously a much, much different team without the guy. For some reason, everybody is so much worse on that team when Judge is not
fine.
There.
You're fine. What are you, 7 over .500? You're going to be fine.
We should be fine. Yeah, with that type of payroll, shouldn't be. This isn't basketball where you lose your star and you're like, oh, shoot, we could be in trouble. This is baseball. It shouldn't make that big of a difference. But for some reason, for this Yankees team, it just does. It just does.
Yeah.
You beat the Mariners. Gerrit Cole's dynamite by today's pitching standards. I think seven and a third, 8 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 12 wagged fingers. I'm not sure that was about you. This Bill McKinney kid is good. Why can he play shortstop? Parlay kid. So what can they do?
He's a career minor leaguer. He's a quadruple A guy, you know, pretty good minor leaguer. That's the type of thing I'm talking about. Like all these other teams have guys like that they plug in, they play them, and you go, wow, that guy had a pretty good year. I mean, the Yankees have a lot of former minor league players that are on other teams' rosters that are performing very well around the league. Look, the guy McKinney, I mean, he was been with the Dodgers. I think he was with the Mets for a cup of coffee, right? So
yeah, I think he was.
He just doesn't stick anywhere. But maybe why can't a guy like that get hot for like a month at least or something and have just a good month of baseball to get the Yankees through it? I'm waiting on it. I mean, Mets are down 2-0, by the way.
You're good. I'm looking at this. They lost. I mean, I joked that they scored too many runs the first game of the series against the Astros. They wasted too many runs in that 11-1 romp. And of course, the next day.
Yeah,
Valdez is almost unhittable. Verlander takes a loss, and we're right back to where we were. Trying to think what else is going. Are the Reds losing this game? They were losing time I saw. They had a 10-game winning streak.
The Reds are up 5-3.
This team is something. My goodness, Harry. This is crazy. So this will be 11 if they hold on. First place, 23rd place odds-wise to win the World Series at 100-1, but 3-1 to win the Central. I don't know. We're getting late in June.
Interesting, though, like you said, Sal, if they hold on here, that's 11 in a row. They got Votto back.
Yeah.
That De La Cruz was my rookie of the year last year. He's back playing, and he's hitting 300. But this team is minus 16 heading into, like, today, 16 in run differential. Cubs are the only team at a plus in the NL Central in run differential. And their team ERA is 5. But they're on the red hot. The Reds are red hot.
Yeah, they are. Baseball's weird this year. It just is. With the Mets and Yankees being up and down like they are. The Dodgers, aside from Kershaw, I think their starters have like a 5.30 ERA or something.
Yeah, isn't bad.
Just
they're
strange.
Only 5-10 Reds, in their last 15. Terrible.
Yeah, probably the Astros will be fine against the Mets, but we're waiting for them to jump ahead of the Rangers who lost to Grom, so you would think that would put a pin in that team, but no.
Yeah.
You got a guy hitting close to 400. I was arguing with our friend Toby Mergler about this. Luis Urias, did he get a hit today? I'm trying to think. They played, right? He was hitting 398 coming. A couple nights ago, he got 5 hits. And ended up at exactly 400.
They haven't played. They're not playing today. So
no, they lost, right? 6-3. They lost, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is this yesterday's?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
so.
No, 6-3.
He was 2 for 5.
Oh,
there we go.
His average.
Oh, wow, you're right.
The average doesn't even move. Like it's crazy. I thought Bri. He said 2-1 that he bats 400. I said that's insane. That's way too low. I said 20-1. He said I was insane. I think it's.
Yeah,
I don't know. He could hit 375 the rest of the year, which would be an insane season. And still way short.
You're way closer to that, Sal. You're closer to the odds than 2-1. There's no way. Yeah. I mean, he's been phenomenal. Look, he's had 3 5 hit games in the last like 15 games, and he's still below 400.
Right.
You know how with today's pitching, I mean, look at the averages. If this guy bats 400 this year, it's one of the best accomplishments of all time compared to what everybody else is
not
doing.
Not an amazing lineup surrounding him. Pitching around guy around him. You know what I mean?
Look at the rest. How many guys bat 180 now or 190? I mean, batting 400 is like batting 450.
He can't do it. I stand by 20-1. I don't think it could happen.
Since Judge has been out with his injury, Stanton, Rizzo, LeMahieu, and Donaldson are all batting 160 or less.
Well, you're right. It's brutal, Harry. But with his case, in terms of hitting 400, he's the type of guy who can do it because here's the deal. He's a singles hitter. Pitchers aren't – they're never going to pitch around the guy. He's either going to walk or get a single. So you might as well take your chance and throw him a strike. If he gets a single, he gets a single. So that he's the perfect type of guy in this day and age that could possibly do it because he's strictly a singles hitter. I mean, he's got, all right, he hit 8 home runs last year, but you know, he's got 2 this year. He gets some doubles, but my thing is, people don't worry about that stuff anymore in baseball, about giving up a single. They just don't. Right. Well, they just don't worry.
Sal, you might remember, Darren, too. How late was it in the season when George Brett came close?
Well, Tony Gwynn was a close after that, and he had 394, right? Babyface, didn't we talk about this? He had 394 in
94.
In 94? Was in 94. Yeah, right. Yeah, Brett got late in the season, but
Brett was pretty late in the season. Very late, I think. What did he end up, 390 that year?
I think 390.
It probably won't happen. Exactly. Yeah, 390, I think was the number. But, like, Arias could go 3 for 20 and be done next week, right? Like, he could, that's all it takes. And then you're done. No one's talking about 400 if he goes 3 for 20 or 4 for 20 or something like that. I don't know. It's just he can have a phenomenal year the rest of the way and not get to 400. So I would take fake
Sal,
odds.
And look, Sal, if Tony Gwynn in the 90s couldn't hit 400, if Ichiro couldn't hit 400, come close to that number, I mean, it's just with today's pitching,
The more thing is, you're going to see different pitchers. You're not going to see the same pitcher 3 times in a game. Right. How many times the rest of the year will we see the same pitcher for 3 at-bats? Probably not a lot. I'd say probably under 15.
I didn't realize, but even with Gwynn and Brett, Gwynn was on that shortened season.
Yeah.
When he hit 394, he had 419 official at-bats. Jeez. And Brett only played in 117 games the year. He hit 390.
I don't know what's makes official. You wonder
Well, I think they were official. They had obviously Gwynn's was official because
they both were.
He just got screwed, and Brett's was official as well. But my point is, say Brett played in 160, would that have helped his cause or hurt his cause?
I don't see how any more games helps. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
you want, right. That's you know what I'm right.
Yeah, they want Reyes. Right. He wants everybody to go on strike now.
You got unfortunately, you got to take the $1,000 for $20,000 bet from Toby.
Is that what it is? Okay, I'll do it. He ate it in 400. All right, listen, we'll be right back to wrap things up. Oh, we're now midweek. We didn't mention the U.S. Open. Wyndham Clark. Parlay, didn't you have Wyndham Clark a couple weeks ago on a prop? A
couple weeks ago.
For the PGA?
I had him in a prop, I PGA. Believe.
So. Top Brian had him this week.
And he didn't make the cut. He was coming off a win. He was coming off a major win, but he was coming off a win.
Right. Travelers or something? Wells Fargo?
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, he was 75-1 to win the U.S. Open. His best finish in 6 previous majors was tied for 75th, Harry, in the 2021 PGA Championship. That's the worst by a major winner all time, minimum 5 starts. Bri, I don't know. I mean, Rory McIlroy is just like, he's an abusive boyfriend at this point. I don't know why I keep betting on him. And I didn't bet on him until Sunday, but I found a bet where I could bet Rory or Scheffler to win. At like plus 108. I was like, that's great. The guy couldn't miss a putt inside 7 and couldn't make one from 10 feet beyond. It was spectacular. I think 16 greens in regulation.
16 18.
Yeah. 16 out of 18 greens in regulation.
Both of those two, Scheffler and Rory.
Yeah. Scheffler
could not make anything. Yeah. Scheffler was even worse. Could not make anything outside of 8 feet. I mean, he missed that one chance of a birdie. I think it was on 8 or it was on 8. Which blew it for him.
He made it boring. The last hour was so boring.
I don't need to see. I don't need to see Rory anymore. I don't need to see him. I'm so proud with that guy.
Nice job by you, Clark, though. That was very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I had the 20, but again.
85-1 on the pod.
I had him plus 230 top 20, which was nice.
That's right.
I hit that. And I mentioned he was a good sleeper at 85-1. Did I have any money?
Do we all hit our props for that?
No, guy didn't make the top. Okay. Didn't make the cut. Who did I have? Power or something. I had Seamus Power.
Okay, Seamus Power.
Yeah, mine was
Harry
bad.
And I, Harry, though, we hit ours, right?
We hit ours. Harrington.
Yeah, Morikawa. I had Morikawa top 20.
Yeah, Harrington was good again.
Plus 125, and Harrington was good.
Yep. I got to say, I didn't like the course. It didn't do anything for me. I hated how late it is out here. Bri, you and I, we figured out our exact opposite. You have to have action at 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and I have to have action as soon as I wake up, 7 a.m.
When it's Father's Day too, I don't like the golf being on late because we're all like Darren and I are together. We're watching like the stuff and it's like it just started. Like,
yeah, right.
And we're like,
these guys don't take until 3:30.
We'll see you later. Pacific. I'll see you later. And it's like the sixth hole. I don't like the golf on the West Coast. Golf, I don't like on West Coast. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah, Harry, they got to keep that stuff in Florida. Just have every tournament in Florida.
You didn't like the course though, Sal? I kind of did.
It was all right. I don't know. It didn't do it.
I personally thought, I don't play golf really, but I thought that course looked really tough. I mean, even though they shot well, I mean, some of the way those bunkers were set up, I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Koepka came out, might have even been mid first round, said how much he hated the course. So,
these guys, prima donnas, though. I mean, I know. Come on.
But Sal, one last thing on that Wyndham Clark. How does he goes back to back like bogeys on that one stretch? How does he not shoot like a 20 on that one where the ball is like he is in like 4 feet of weeds? Right. And it was like one of the hardest shots ever. How does he missed the one, but how do you even get it out of that?
Yeah.
What if he just kept swinging?
I know it. When they show the ball, it's so deep in there. What qualifies that Harry as a swing? Because He didn't make contact with that ball the first time he tried to chop it out. What is it? Is it like a baseball swing? If you break your wrist, it's when they do the practice shot, you know, when they hit a, what I mean? They size it up a lot. So if you just, is it like a baseball swing? Like,
we'll have to ask Paul next time. We'll have to ask him
the Dutch MOOC. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have him back. Harry's brother turned 50 last week. We talked about that. I had him on the phone yesterday, Harry, for an hour. And because I had to go over his birthday gift, which was $30 on the Bears to win the Super Bowl at 60-1. $50 on the Bears to make the playoffs at plus 172.
Oh, nice.
$10 on Tyler Scott, wide receiver, offensive rookie of the year, Bears, obviously. $10 Roshan Johnson, running back, offensive rookie of the year. That's what's his name's backup? From Texas, right? Be Robinson's backup.
Yeah.
And and money on Tyreek Stevenson, defensive rookie of the year. He was over the moon about it, Harry. Not so with your gift. I'll say
what a pal you are. You're a good guy.
Well, he did not like your gift. He lost his mind in a different way when I brought up your gift.
He used plenty of candy. He loves candy.
He didn't like it. He used some adjectives that we're not going to repeat during Pride
Month. I told Harry that. Harry Scott did not like the gift.
What did you get him? You got him, but he said you got him socks that he gave away to his daughter. What kind of socks must they be for him to be able to give away to his daughter?
He always complains to me and my father, bitches, that he doesn't have any socks. He's filthy. They got holes in them. All over the place. I got him some thick socks that says Amsterdam on them that, that was a nice gift.
Your father complaining that his 50-year-old son walks around with ripped
got
socks.
Got him that toxic waste candy that he loves.
Daddy liked that.
He's like, just send me more of that. He's like, I don't understand. Yeah.
Such an Oswego hometown gift. That toxic waste. Yeah.
And our buddy Ken, 53 today.
And I was just going to say that. Yes, another birthday. What did you get Ken for his birthday?
Take him to dinner tonight.
That's it?
Oh, it's going to be, you know how that's going to go. Don't tell me that's it.
I know he just. What is it?
$500.
I don't know, man. I mean, he just paid for like 50 grand worth of like European trips for you.
Dinner will be 500. And I paid for plenty of that Europe trip myself, believe me.
Yeah.
And I did actually get him a gift card for 200 as well.
Who's going to dinner?
You make it like 300 of the dinner is going to be what you order. So what are you talking about?
No, it's not. No, he orders he orders whatever and everything and anything and everything. You know that.
Well, I'm going to give Ken a call after this. Babyface, what do you think of this? Is this a suitable gift? I mean, really, he paraded him around Europe for a month on his own dime.
Of course. Harry is the most thoughtful guy I know. He brought me back 6 pounds of cheese. And I still have that 6 pounds of cheese.
By the way, there's some rumors going around that we might be going back, me and him, second week of July.
To what?
Europe.
There's rumors going around. I thought the party's over. This doesn't jive with the party being over. Look up "parties over" in the dictionary and see if trips to Europe.
You're right. I just checked. Woj just dropped it. There are rumors of
yes.
Okay,
Harry, it's take that extra cheese and turn them into socks and send them to your brother.
Oh my gosh!
Right.
If they're Swiss, they'll already have holes, so you won't have to worry about it. All right, happy birthday, Kenny K, 53. Good job by you. We will be back after the draft. Actually, we're doing this Friday morning, right? So we'll talk about all the draft. Parley Kid will complain about the Knicks pick. And we'll have it all together.
No, I won't be complaining.
You don't have one? You don't even have a second round pick?
No, unless we trade Obi or something to get a pick.
Wow. Oh, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, you're going to trade Obi. I think you had a second round pick. All right. That's going to do it. For another episode of Against All Odds, for Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, the Degenerate Trifecta, and the great Master Tate Frazier, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na.